wazobona wazobuka wazobona wazobuka izodlala iTV
uzaphe ah rage ngeke idlale iTV if you love iDisk and don't have iDS. That's why you should get DStv Compact so you can view live festive and super disky with PSL matches midweek and Sundays only on SuperSport on DStv Compact. Hey, kumnandi khaya.
Welcome to the big interview brought to you by DStv Compact. Last year, we saw the 2019 Women's World Cup breaking records with billions across the globe tuning in as the USA grabbed another world title. Well, today I'm joined by the first captain to ever lead Banyana Banyana to a World Cup. She also happens to have her own successful club who'll be participating in the SAFA Women's League later this year with one incredible recent signing. I've got the one and only Janine van Wyk. I'm your host, Slu Paho, and this is Sokola Duma Radio.
Sokola Duma Radio.
Who will be Dikakapatsa Diski on the APSA Premiership? Will a Super Diski to find out? Catch over 200 APSA Premiership matches all live and in HD only on SuperSport. Don't miss any action. Will a Diski on DStv Compact? Kumnande Kaya. So 2019 was quite the marquee year for women's football, not only in South Africa, but the world. Did you anticipate the World Cup being the runaway success that it was?
Definitely not. I think the Women's World Cup was a fantastic experience for women's football in South Africa, for African players on the continent experience such a high-level competitive tournament, and it was fantastic to be a part of. I think it was a huge success in terms of viewers. I think it's the most viewers that the World Cup, Women's World Cup actually got, with over 2 billion people watching the Women's World Cup. So it just shows that there is a huge expand and growth in the game, and it's amazing to be a part of it.
Definitely. After the World Cup, it was reported in Scotland that 20%, there's been a 20% jump in women playing football in Scotland. I don't have similar figures for South Africa, but what do you think the impact of the success of that World Cup will have on South African girls trying to get into the sport?
Yeah, I can definitely say that it had an impact across the world globally, not only Scotland or not only in South Africa, but there are millions of young girls aspiring to be the next Megan Rapinoe or Marta or whoever, Lucy Bronze, that they really got to see participate at the World Cup. And there are so many girls now taking interest, and you know, programs are being developed. School soccer has kicked off for girls within the schools and the universities. So there are plenty of platforms for these girls to now, you know, take part in and grow in the game and learn about the game and obviously reach out and inspire to be the people or the players that they look up to.
We saw Jermaine Siopo-Senwe, Thembi Hlatlana, Linda Mutlalo, Rifulwe Jane. Those are just some of the names who earned spots on European teams after the World Cup. How will this help their development and Banyana's chances at future competitions?
Yeah, it's been great. We always knew that we had so much talent in our country. It was just about being that talent being recognized, and what a perfect platform for us to be recognized at the world stage, playing against the world's best teams and the best players. And they really set a big standard for themselves, Thembi scoring a phenomenal goal against Spain. So now a lot of international teams want to play Banyana Banyana because of the quality that we're able to produce. So hopefully more structures can be involved and put in place, because you know, we can't have the talent that we have in our country go to waste just because there's not enough platforms for them to develop. So I think SAFA has done a great job in launching the National Women's League to give these young girls an opportunity to look ahead at their future and see that there's something for them out there.
And on your side, with your rehabilitation, how are things going? I know you didn't get to play much. I believe you were in Denmark, correct?
Yes. I was in Denmark and I came back because of my injury that I picked up in August, and just over a month ago I got cleared to, you know, partake in football again and play and train, and last week Saturday was my first game back in a friendly game against the Zambian national team on the club level, and got 70 minutes. So everything's been going really well, and according to the physios, I'm 100% to play again.
Perfect. So before I get to JVWFC, I wanted to ask, we know a lot about scouting systems when it comes to men's football. What can you tell me about your youth development when you were rising through the ranks at Springs Home Sweepers and the like?
Yeah, well, obviously coming from, you know, playing with the boys, because there weren't really many girl platforms to start playing football. And then age of 14, got into a ladies team, being Springs Home Sweepers in Kwatema, based in the Far East in Johannesburg. And I mean, now there are so many more platforms for these young girls to play the game without any facing any challenges of having to play with the boys, or being, you know, discriminated against for playing opposed to a male dominant sport. And now girls are able to play freely. So before that, obviously going into the JVW development, that was established in 2012, purely to give the girls an opportunity to play in a comfortable environment where they are in and showcase their talents without, you know, having to compete with the boy next to them. They're able to compete with the girls who are also, were also interested in the game. So it has grown tremendously over the past 8 or 9 years since 2012. And I mean, the club only started with 9 players, and today we're sitting on 98 players that are part of the club. So the growth in women's football has expanded a lot, and within the club as well. So it's amazing to see such amazing youngsters coming through the ranks, through the club. And obviously there are 5 players now that have been called up for junior national team that are part of the club, and it's one of them is the captain of the under-17 national team, Jessica Wade, and she also recently made the squad for the first team of the JVW team that will now play in the National Women's League as from June.
And, you know, you're really wasting no time here. I mean, JVWFC, it started back in 2012. It's kind of come into its own over the years, but you're still, you know, playing football yourself. And so it's very rare that we see that. What inspired you to start JVW? And at what point in your career did you know that, okay, we're just going to get the ball rolling now?
Yeah, well, I think it was from age of 26. I think many athletes still highly concentrate on their own football careers and set out dreams still for themselves to achieve. But in still concentrating on my own career, I felt the need that I needed to give back to young girls that love the game. And speaking about the talent that I saw in the Girls' Schools League, there just simply was nowhere for these girls to go, which inspired me to create my own football club. And at times it was very difficult because, you know, you had to buy football kit, buy football equipment and things out of my own pockets in order for these girls to sustain the football club and have them, you know, work on a daily basis to get to the level where they need to be in order to reach their dreams and aspirations of becoming a national player. So that was the main reason why I started, is just because I saw or identified a lot of talent and within the girls, and nothing really was being done about it. And I thought that this talent would really go unnoticed or go to waste if I didn't do anything about it. And it is, after all, the sport that I love and so passionate about. And it's just amazing to see this young girls coming up and succeeding under my guidance and knowledge and within my football club. And it just gives me that satisfaction knowing that I have provided a platform for these girls to grow in the game and, you know, reach out for their dreams.
You know, in this country, we've seen it with Jomo Sono back in the day, starting his own team, and he was responsible for a lot of the 96 AFCON winners finding their place. Recently, we saw David Beckham start Inter Miami, and it took him quite a long time to get it off the ground. What are some of the challenges from inception of the idea to that first match and the process of putting the team together and the difficulties there?
Well, yeah, I remember bringing a team together. I mean, we were a group of 15 players. I played myself in that team. And it's all about, you know, creating your own identity at first, creating a playing style, identifying the players that are within your club and what standards you set. And obviously for me, it's all about professionalism, players that are disciplined and hardworking, because you don't want just any players coming into the club and messing around. You want players that are dedicated to the sport and passionate and want to set goals for themselves to reach the next level. So that is the most challenging thing, is identifying those kind of players, because there aren't many of them. So if you want your club to have high standards and want to stand out and be seen as a professional environment, you got to have the players for that. And because it's very rare to find those players around, I mean, if everyone was to be committed and dedicated and hardworking, the whole world would be successful. So it's about finding the balance of players that could come together and work towards a common goal.
You know, they said with Beckham, with Inter Miami, that they might struggle because they didn't make a big kind of marquee signing in the transfer window before they started. But you actually have quite the marquee signing in Caster Semenya.
Yeah.
How did that signing come about? When did those conversations start? Can you walk us through it?
Yeah, Caster and I always, you know, met at SASCOC launches, Olympic launches. And she always, you know, we popped up in conversation that one day she wants to play football again, because she played football at a young age, but obviously running took a preference for her. But, you know, a lot of people ask me if Custer can play football. Yes, she can. She can kick a ball. She is very good at it. And she's, you know, a multi-sport kind of person, where she's just a good sportsman all around. And there's obviously a few things, just like any other player, needs to improve on and work on to become that extra bit, you know, improve extra a little bit more on certain aspects of your game. But we have signed Custer, and only purely because we want to also give her that opportunity to fulfill her dream of playing football again. And it's not taking anything away from her struggling with whatever she's gone through in the past couple of months with the RAAF and her case. She's still highly concentrating on running. She's still really working every single day on trying to get to the Olympic Games. So she's still taking her running seriously, with obviously in the back of her mind that in her spare time, in her off time, she will continue playing football, and something that really takes her mind off everything else that's been going on.
What type of player is she, if you don't mind me asking? Like, position-wise, where can we expect her to be deployed?
Well, look, she's had a couple of sessions with us, and we obviously trying to find a place for her. I mean, Custer being Custer says that she can play anywhere, wherever we want to put her. But it's just finding a balance of where we could, what position will be suitable for her. I've watched a couple of clips that she's trained with boys before, that she's played as a centre back, as a defender, and I don't think any striker would want to surpass Custer when they see her one on one. So that could work for us as well. But we'll see once she starts training with us on a regular basis. When she has some time, we would slot her in.
And, you know, she's such a familiar face and such a famed individual. We see the Nike campaigns with her and all of that. How much attention do you think her herself will be able to bring to the league?
I think it would be fantastic for the league in our country, for women's football in our country, and obviously my football club, JVW. And I think after we announced the signing of Custer, we've had a lot of interest of interviews across the world that wanted to come and, you know, have a word with Custer and the football club, and just what the league, the competition within the league, and where women's football is at the moment in terms of in South Africa. So I think there'll be huge interest in what the league is, where it is at, what needs to be done, and hopefully more sponsors will come on board too for us, you know, and that's could be the breakthrough for women's football in South Africa by taking such a high profile athlete to come into women's football and playing, and hopefully, you know, corporates and sponsors will come on board to actually sponsor the league.
And congratulations, by the way, on winning the Sasol League National Championship recently.
Thank you.
And, you know, what's next for JVWFC in 2020? What's the calendar looking like? We expect to see you in the SAFA Women's League this season, right?
Yes, I'll be playing in the National League. It's something that I really waited for my whole career, is a National League for women in the country. And it's finally, you know, recently launched. And JVW being the only team, or the first team, that's qualified, well, alongside my Indies from Limpopo, that qualified for this league. So we are looking forward to it. We are currently in pre-season training. The league kicks off in June again, as I believe. So we're looking forward to playing high competitive football again, making a name for ourselves as a club, as female footballers, and obviously concentrating on the youth development within the club, because there are a lot of youngsters coming through as well to come into the National League team. So you'll see a lot of talent over there coming through, playing alongside some of the experienced players.
Now, you're going to be speaking at the African leg of the World Football Summit this month in Durban. What are you going to be discussing, and what do you hope to achieve at the summit?
Well, obviously, just discussing my football program, which is why they have invited me, and what I've done, and how much of a success it has been in such a short space of time in developing women's football in the country, and obviously what still needs to be done to improve women's football on different platforms, and people actually and corporates investing in women's football, and the reason why they need to do that. So I am currently working on my speech, and hopefully it will be a good one and good enough for sponsors to come on board and really back women's football.
I've always wondered why there's this stigma towards women's football. I also see it with women's basketball. Do you think we can move towards a place where the women's side of the sport is seen the same as, say, tennis or athletics, for example, where there's almost just as much interest in the Serena match as there is in the Nadal match? Do you think that we're moving towards that era?
I think so. I think in a couple of years' time, it will be as equal as the men and seen as a sport that people, you know, regard as this, as something that they take interest in and want to watch and be part of. You already see it with the U.S. national team. They are out there. Whenever you speak about women's football, it's always USA that pop up in conversation, because they have been so successful, and they've shown, even through breaking barriers from, you know, back in the day, a decade or more ago, where they were also in the position that we are in, creating national leagues, fighting for sponsors to come on board to back the women. So we are at that stage right now. We are still recognized. But they were the ones that actually, you know, broke through those barriers in obviously being the footprint for us as a country and the world to follow in. That nothing really comes easy. You got to fight for it. And they've worked extremely hard. They've won numerous World Cups, Olympic Games. They've really made a name for themselves in the world of sports, not only women's football. So that is the stage that we are aiming towards, and we have to follow. And I think in a couple of years' time, we'll be at that level.
Now, at the end of March, or towards the end of March, BBC will announce their Women's Footballer of the Year for 2020. And the award will be, the five-player shortlist is between Lucy Bronze, Julie Ertz, Sam Kerr, Viviane Miedema, and Megan Rapinoe. Who do you rank as your Footballer of the Year for 2020?
Definitely Megan Rapinoe. Megan Rapinoe is a fantastic player. I've played against most of those players. But I could never on the field really figure out Megan Rapinoe and what she does. But she's also the face of women's football currently in the States. So she is the voice for women's football across the world. And she has so much influence in young girls and girls that are playing alongside her as well. So she has had a fantastic year in 2019. She's had a fantastic World Cup. So there's no doubt for me that she is the world's best player at the moment.
Well, thank you very much for joining me for the big interview, Janine. Thank you very, very much for joining me. Have a fantastic day and all the best for 2020.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that is how we wrap up the big interview brought to you by DSTV Compact. Big thank you to Captain Fantastic Janine Van Wyk, from myself, your host, Slu Paho, and my editor, Aidan Hewitt. Have a fantastic day.
TV. If you love it, Disc and don't have it, DS. That's why you should get DSTV Compact, so you can vula festive and super Disky with PSL matches midweek and Sundays. Only on SuperSport on DSTV Compact. Hey, kumnandi kai.